All right, welcome into another edition of the Producers Podcast. Mike Callow here with you, Lauren Drone, my co-host, over on the other side of the room, and we have a lot to get to this week. Capitals start their playoff run starting tomorrow. Lauren, a hockey newbie, is going to ask me some questions and comment on Tuesday's game, and I'm sure we are going to have completely different viewpoints of that. I'll make a pick in just a little bit here. Going to go through Washington's schedule, and then, of course, Lauren, being the Saints fan, she's going to give us a quick blurb on that one as well. And a touch of baseball on today's show, too. But let's jump right into it. Capitals start their playoff run tomorrow. They play the Bruins tomorrow at 7:15. And, of course, if you get this podcast late, whatever. Just keep listening. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But Lauren, being the Southern Belle on the show, has basically never watched hockey. Am I correct on that? Like, just never tuned into it.
Nope.
And that's about par for the course for the country, for that part of the country, being that Atlanta has had two franchises. They have both moved out from there.
Right.
That's about right from where you're at there. So you did watch Tuesday, though.
I did.
Caps played
the
Bruins then. Bruins rested literally 16 of their normal skaters.
Right.
Caps did a little bit of resting, but had some of their guys back. Your first impressions of hockey that you watched?
It was very entertaining in the part, like, I was on the edge of my couch, like I would find myself like tensing up like with them, because I didn't realize like how aggressive hockey is. I mean I've always heard like that it's aggressive, but
your intro really was last week with Tom Wilson and all the stuff
right.
that went down, because it's rare here. You've heard me and Bram talk Caps before, but it's like mostly we toss it in at the end of an hour or whatever, but we talk about them every game. But the Wilson stuff finally broke through to a national conversation, which I think got you to pay attention.
It did. It was very interesting. I don't know why. I guess because I played soccer, but I kept trying to relate the rules to soccer.
Okay.
I don't know why, because like I heard them call like an offsides, and then I was like, is that the same thing as like what it is for soccer? But they move so fast, like I couldn't tell. I tried to pay attention to see like what they were calling and why they were calling it, and I didn't really get that. But then I saw him like hit it down with his hand, and since I had heard the offsides, I don't know why, but I was like, handball. And I was like, oh, wait a second. That's probably not a thing.
Fair enough, though. I mean, like, the offsides rule is the same, except instead of every, what is it, 5 yards in soccer that the line is there, right?
So it's if your player is past the last defender and the ball is passed to you, it's offsides.
Yeah. So, but isn't, that's period, right? That's all.
Yes.
So there's not the lines or anything.
Yeah,
okay.
At least that's what it is with high school soccer.
Well, there you go.
But,
okay, so for hockey, it's just the blue lines. It's the blue lines.
Okay.
Like, you basically can't be, like, you can't be behind that line, like trying to basically cherry pick in front of the goalie. And that's why that rule is in place, essentially.
Okay.
So it's just the blue lines, though, that rule is in place.
Okay.
No handball or no hand pass, I should say. You are not allowed to close your hand onto the
puck.
Which
makes sense.
So that if they do that, that's a 2-minute penalty.
Okay.
I forget what that penalty. Oh, it's like gripping the puck or something. No joke. It's such a stupid one.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say rule. It's a stupid name for it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, any other?
I do.
Comments,
I have
concerns?
One more question.
Okay.
So, Tom Wilson got like blindsided, hit in the back. And I know, like you've said before, pretty much like once the whistle's blown, anything's fair game, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I mean, blindsided from the back, is that like, because he wasn't called, and Tom Wilson was even like looking at the ref, and I guess maybe like it goes into like, well, this is kind of what you get, maybe, or like if it was anybody else, would it have been some sort of penalty?
So I saw this one, obviously, I produced the broadcast, so I saw this one. He had two where it was Faiarbi on the Flyers. One of them, they weren't even looking at each other, and sometimes that just happens. Like, guys get caught up with what they're staring at, and that one was a little bit of that. I don't know if he was taking a run at Tom Wilson, but yes and no. Like, it probably could have been a penalty, but then you have to set that precedent for the rest of the game that all the penalties like that have to be called, and refs usually don't like to do that. So this is something you'll find, too. Like, tomorrow, when you watch the first playoff game, nothing's going to get called, because that's just what they do. Like, they might call one or two in the first and second period.
Gotcha.
But if it's like a 0-0, 1-1 game, 2-1 game,
let them play.
They will not. Yeah, they won't call jack.
Gotcha.
And then, same thing, overtime. they will not call. I mean, it has to be blatant, like stick between the legs and he trips. Like, it's got to be bad. NHL refs like to basically let a game go a certain way when it comes to the playoffs. They let them play. This would be a fun one for you, too. So normally in the regular season, a game goes to overtime. It goes 3-on-3 overtime. So it's crazy. Like, lots
like
of open.
Three players on three players?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it goes crazy, and it's 5 minutes, and it's like, it's a joy. Like, I love it. It's a great rule for the regular season.
And how many are on the ice at one time? Is it five?
It's five and five and five.
Yeah. Five and five, okay.
So you have three forwards, two defensemen.
Okay.
And so... that's great, but come playoff time, rules are scratched. They just start a brand new period. So
So it's 5-on-5.
Yeah. So once we start the playoffs tomorrow.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
But the thing is, that those are the rules. That's it. So you keep playing periods until somebody scores
wins.
A goal. We've gotten the past maybe 4 or 5 years where we've gotten up to 6-7 overtimes.
Okay. So this is the only encounter that I've really had with hockey. I was in college. I was in my senior year of college, and I was a bartender at a sports bar. And I have my regulars who were all from like the northern area, Midwest type area where like hockey's a big deal, I guess.
Yes.
And they stayed at the bar. And it was overtime after overtime, and it was past midnight. Well, I was student teaching because I have a teaching degree, and I had to call my manager and say, look, like, I have a lesson I have to teach tomorrow, and I have to be up at, like, 5, so can you, like, come close for me because I can't stay?
Right, right.
And so we did. So that was the only time that I ever had an encounter, but it was for, I think it was, like, game 7. Oh no, it was a really big deal. Like, it was a really big game. So that's the only encounter that I had with hockey before this.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much when momentum happens too. Like, even if you're not a hockey fan, you just realize the stakes keep getting higher and higher. Like, for the Caps perspective, when they won the Stanley Cup in 2018, they lost their first two games of the first round series against Columbus. They were in game 3 against Columbus, and it went to overtime, and it went to triple overtime. And, like, you're fighting for your playoff life there. You're either going down 0-3 and have to win 4 straight games after that, or you win and you hope you move on. And basically that's what happened. They won, ended up taking care of Columbus. The rest is history. They end up winning the Stanley Cup. But those are the games where you thought you were on the edge of your seat on Tuesday in a game that didn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Wait till really, like, it's game 5 or 6 when, like, your season either is going to be going on for one more game, or it's going to be done in a snap.
Like March Madness.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It's going to be a good time. So I hope you enjoy like your first playoff like hockey. You're going to drink a lot. I'm going to tell you that now. You're probably going to be hungover.
Okay.
Because there's nothing else to deal with the stress. And I'll say this too from personal experience. I joined the Caps Radio Network in the 2016-17 season.
Okay.
I did not go to a single game because I obviously worked for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to game 1 Caps Vegas Stanley Cup.
Oh, wow.
And the funniest thing I did is, like, I was in my seat and I was like, wow, I can go get a beer. And, like, that was the biggest mistake I ever made, because then I was stressed drinking the whole freaking game.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm glad I'm basically glad I'm working for the team now, and it works both ways. I now get paid, and I don't have to pay for beer during the game.
There
so,
you go.
That's what ended up going down, at least on my route for the playoffs. But
can't wait.
The other thing too is if they go to overtime, I get overtime money.
Oh,
So like, that's pretty good. But as far as predictions go for this, I won't make you do one because I know you're a newbie at this.
No, I want to do it just to see.
Oh, you do. You do. Okay.
Let's just see how it plays out.
All right. First off, this series is going to go 7 games, I think.
Okay.
I think it's going to go long. I really don't like the Capitals' injuries heading into this playoff run. TJ Oshie is hurt. Tom Wilson doesn't seem like he's the same player since the suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I shouldn't say suspension.
Since the fine.
Alex Ovechkin looks 100% though, which is great. Alex Ovechkin's a great playoff player. He's never really choked. He's always been fantastic. And then there's John Carlson, who seems to be coming back, but I'm weary on that. But my biggest gripe, and like even you just in passing know what I'm about to talk about, is the goaltending.
Yeah.
They've had two rookie goaltenders play all year. Neither one of them, Vitek Vanacek or Ilya Samsonov, has taken the reins.
Mm-hmm.
Ilya Samsonov still on the COVID list today, by the way, off of what happened in New York, along with Evgeny Kuznetsov, which is another reason why I think they might struggle a little bit in this series. I'm going to say this. The Bruins will win in 7 if Vitek Vanacek is the goaltender the whole way, or it might be less than 7 games. But if the Capitals actually pull Vitek Vanacek and he plays bad, the veteran Craig Anderson, who's 40 years old, played a really good game the other night against Boston. And I think, not against Boston. That was Vitek Vanacek on Tuesday. Craig Anderson played a really good game the game before. Gotcha. And I think, I'm trying to remember who he even played against. I don't even remember.
Don't ask me. I'm the wrong person.
Either way, Craig Anderson's last game was really good. And I just thought for a 40-year-old that is basically been on the taxi squad the whole year, mm-hmm. like a guy who has just basically been practicing mm-hmm. and just watched this all from afar. I don't know. Maybe there's a little magic there, but mm-hmm. I think there's a really good storyline that the oldest team in the league, literally the Caps year by year, are the oldest team in the league. Yeah. They have Zdeno Chara, who's 44 years old.
Wow.
Ovechkin's getting up there, 32, 33 years old. They have the oldest team in the league, and I just think it would be ironic that a 40-year-old goaltender comes in
right.
and all of a sudden just works the magic
because
he hasn't played all year.
Yeah.
They only need him to be good for about a month or two, right? So if Vitek Vanacek is the only goalie we see, Caps fall in 6 or 7 games. If Craig Anderson comes in, I'm saying Caps in 7.
Hmm. I say they – I'm going to predict that they lose the first few. So they go like what? 0-2 or 0-3.
Okay. All right. Backs up against the wall.
Just because – like you said, there were 16 of their players out, and they and the Caps didn't look great against them the game that I watched.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
So, and I'm just going off of the literal one game that I've watched, so let's take that into consideration.
Sure.
But I say they go 0-3 and fight back and lose it.
So you're saying what? Bruins in...
I'm going to say Bruins... And so what did I say? 0-3. I say they win 4, 5, 6. That would be 3-3. So I say it goes to 7.
You're going Bruins in 7.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All right. Lauren's official prediction, Bruins in 7. Mine is Bruins in 6 or 7 if Vitek Vanacek is the goaltender, Caps in 7 if Craig Anderson ends up starting. Those are really like definitive answers, but we have circumstances at least from both ways.
There we go.
Next up, we did have the NFL schedule release come out.
Yes.
Obviously, everyone has basically seen it by this point.
Mm-hmm.
We will run through the Washington schedule real quick, though. You did a show with Andy the other day, and what did you pick them to go?
I picked them 8-9.
Okay.
And Andy picked them 11-6. And then after he was counting them up, he was like, oh. He was like, I didn't realize I had him winning that many times. So I think he, like, if he could go back, he would scale it back a little bit.
Yeah.
But I have him 8-9. But it was really hard to do because as I was going through and looking at these, it's like, oh, well, there's so much indecisiveness around so many positions. And the league is still possibly very fluid.
Right.
And so... this could literally just be like completely nixed
because
depending on Aaron Rodgers and like Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, we haven't seen what he's going to be.
Sure.
So there's just so many unknowns, like Trevor Lawrence. Is he a bust? Is he going to be good? Zach Wilson.
I'll just say this, Lauren. Welcome to Sports Radio. This is what
right.
we do. So,
oh, yeah. Right.
This is what we want, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So like, barring all of the moving parts, I picked them to go 8-9. That's how I had to look at... because I did one for the Saints, too. That's how I had to look at their schedule. Who do we have around the fluid parts?
Right.
For, you know, this season.
Right. I'm torn here. I'm going to run through the schedule real quick with my reasoning.
Okay.
You had them 8-9 or 9-8, basically?
8-9.
8-9 mm-hmm. is what your final answer
mm-hmm.
was. So I'll run through it real quick. I think Chargers, week one, I'm going win.
That's what Andy did.
I think FedEx Field going to be rocking for the first time in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think fans didn't take it for granted, but you take away something for a year and
right.
that place gets a full house. I will say this too. As someone who paid attention to the tickets the other night, I'm
mm-hmm.
a season ticket holder, but
mm-hmm.
I wanted to see what the ticket prices were.
Right.
Dynamic pricing this year. The first time I've ever seen that as a Washington fan.
Yeah.
Seats were pretty cheap to get in the door. So I think they just want to fill it up.
Right.
They're going to get behind that defense. I think it's going to be loud. I think they're going to try to rock Herbert early. And I just think, too, it's the Chargers offense that's going to win that game for them if
oh,
they
yeah.
win, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And you even know this. It takes longer for an offense to get going, and especially in the
right.
NFL at the beginning of the year.
Right.
I just think Washington's defense is going to be too much for them to handle early on.
Well, and that's what I said with Andy the other day. I was like, I really want to see how this Washington defense is going to play out.
Yeah.
Because they could flip Washington's season upside down.
Right.
If they put everything together properly.
Sure.
So, like, I would not, I honestly, if they put their, if they get an offense that's par, that's okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Right.
And they have this electric defense that is what it's looking like it's going to play out to be. I could see them going 11-6, like Andy's predicting.
Okay.
But you do have a lot of pieces you got to put together before that actually happens. Because you do have to have an offense, you know.
And I think, too, you're seeing a lot of Washington fans have, like, this, like, insane optimism that, like,
yeah,
it's not – it's been dormant for a while, mm-hmm, and now it's back. But I do think there's some reasoning here is, like, Alex Smith was terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone was being pretty nice. He could run the offense better than Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that that was, like, rock bottom, mm-hmm, right? And so the fact that Alex Smith even got them to the point where they beat the Steelers, mm-hmm, like, and I know the Steelers were reeling at that point, but still,
mm-hmm,
with how bad he was down the stretch, I just think Fitzmagic is going to give them a few more wins. Like, mm-hmm, maybe three more wins is what he's worth here. But to run through it real quick, I have them winning against the Chargers. I have them winning against the Giants week two. I think short week, home game, I'm just going to chalk it up to that three-point favorite on, mm-hmm, there. So we'll give them a win there. At Bills, definitely a loss.
They're not
beating the Bills, mm-mm, at Buffalo. Just don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'll give them a fighting chance more than December,
no,
with it being snow.
No.
But, like, more of a chance in September. At the Falcons, this is a trap game for me all the way. I think Washington loses this one. I think this is the one where everyone's going to be like, oh, easy win, whatever.
Me, you, and Andy are all on the same page.
Last time
on
I
that
checked,
one.
Julio Jones still on that roster.
Yep.
Kyle Pitts is going to need a breakout game by,
yep,
that point. I just think, as good as this defense has been, this, mm-hmm, is going to be one of those ones that, like, Matt Ryan,
mm-hmm,
just scores three more points than this offense,
yeah,
can give up,
yeah,
and they end up losing there. Got them at 2-2 at this point, of course. Saints coming here. This is an unknown one, of course. We don't know how they're going to look.
Right.
I'm going to chalk this up as a win for Washington just for their defense. I think their defense pulls them through on this one. I don't know what the Saints offense will do. I will say this. They're going to have a field day with Kamara, but I don't, mm-hmm, know if that's going to be enough against the Washington defense. So I, mm-hmm, do have them beating the Saints here at home. Chiefs, we'll just go ahead and going to,
yeah,
say that's a loss. I'm not even going to say that one. This next stretch of games, Packers-Broncos, and I think you had the same mindset here. If Aaron Rodgers is off the Packers, I think they go to Lambeau and win.
Yes.
If Aaron Rodgers is off the Packers, it probably means he's with the Broncos.
Right.
So I'm just going to say 1-1 this next stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Either way,
mm-hmm,
I'll go 1-1 here. So I've got them 4-4 right now. Still,
mm-hmm,
got them at .500.
Mm-hmm.
They will then host the Buccaneers. Just going to say loss here.
Loss.
I think Brady gets them. I'm not going to overthink this one.
Mm-hmm.
Brady probably beats them. Then
I say you put in Taylor Heinicke and see what he can do. This is Taylor Heinicke's game. You have to work him in at some point.
I will agree with you there. Off the bye week, put a package in for Heinicke. He's a
you
mobile
have
quarterback.
To.
I think you throw him in there once or twice just to get the crowd
He's
going.
He's earned
something
that,
like
much.
That.
He has earned that much.
I agree with that one. They go at the Panthers. Think Ron Rivera. That whole entire organization is going to be motivated to take care of them. Also,
yeah,
Sam Darnold doesn't scare me.
No.
So
no.
Give me Washington,
yeah,
on that one.
I got them too.
We are really going literally back and forth here. Seahawks come to Washington. A Monday night game. I will say this. Washington sucks on primetime. Always has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, terrible,
mm-hmm,
on primetime. I think this one finally bucks the trend. I think, especially with Seattle traveling to Washington, this is the old one where you get them. The last year, too, they lost only like 20-10, I think, to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And that offense was anemic. That was with,
right,
Dwayne Haskins at quarterback.
Yeah.
Give me Washington to probably upset Seattle here. Seattle's probably going to be favored by 3 in this one. Give me Washington on a win.
I think it's going to depend on the quarterback situation as well. Like that, like with Russell Wilson, I mean, we haven't heard much.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's staying. But if he's not there, that changes the narrative a little bit.
this one, too, even if Russ is still there, this to me is actually like a audition. Like, all of a sudden, if Washington fans show out for that game and the Washington defense looks as good as we know it can be,
mm-hmm,
maybe he's looking around going, I'd fit in pretty well here next,
yep,
year.
Oh,
and like,
yep.
I think that's something,
mm-hmm,
that should be talked about as we go on with the season. Washington at the Raiders. This one screams trap game to me. I'm going to reluctantly give it a win, though, because I need to give them a win somewhere where I don't think they're either definitely going to get one or whatever. So I think win against the Vegas Raiders. I'm tentatively doing that, though. I think there's a point here where they're probably going to lose a game where we don't think they are.
Well, and I have them winning here, too, but I would not be surprised if they lost just because that environment is going to be so electric. Like, I want to go to a Las Vegas game yep. just because of what they've done with the stadium. Like,
right.
it's going to be hard to go from playing at FedEx Field to playing there with fans. I mean, you do have to look at home field advantage this year.
Like, well, and here's what I'll say to you right off the bat, is Washington fans, we have found, are not afraid to travel, and a lot of them have money.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think this is going to be a game that's going to be sneaky loud for Washington. Ooh. I think you're going to get a bunch of Washington fans who, same thing, you take this away for a year, people are ready to travel.
Right.
Full disclosure, I booked my travel to Green Bay already. Yeah. I'll be in the stands for that game.
Yeah.
I don't even care what tickets cost. I just want to go.
Right.
But I think that Raiders game, half burgundy and gold crowd minimum. I think we're going 50% Washington fans are going to travel to Vegas.
I like
and go.
It.
When
I would.
I mean, right, right.
I mean, I'm not a Washington fan, but I would.
I'll say this too. In 2018, when they played the Golden Knights, game five, by the end of it, was like 75% Caps fans.
Wow.
Vegas fans had either left or they had sold their tickets. It was a lot of red there. My parents went. Like, it
wow.
was cheaper to fly and get a ticket to go to the Knights game than it was to go to the Caps finals game here.
Wow.
So my parents did that, and yeah. a bunch of other people did the same thing. So
yeah.
I think you're going to see kind of not that same type of crowd, but hey, I want to go to Vegas for the weekend,
right.
bet on some games, and then
if I go,
go to
I'm
the
going
game.
All out and sitting in the end zone and getting me bottle service.
Bottle service.
I hate to break it to you, but I'm going to be bougie up in that club, okay?
If I go,
that's where I'm going to be.
Nothing less. So heading in, and then I think we need to take a pause here. They then head into that
five-game
stretch against the East, which I just think, just to pull it back here for a minute, is such a mistake by the league.
Yeah.
I think I respect them actually having this as an experiment, because I think this is what this is. I think they're going to see how this plays out, and we might be looking at the future of maybe either the league or a month for the league or whatever. But to burn at least two of these games, most likely, maybe three, depending on how people's seasons go, I think is a big mistake. People love watching Cowboys-Eagles. People love watching Washington against the Cowboys. They love the rivalry games.
Right.
And I just think going from week two to, what, week 13 and not playing an NFC East opponent for that long is a little ridiculous. And what's fun about the NFL, your teams vary from week to week no matter what happens.
Right.
But please, playing teams 2 weeks from each other is a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, Washington last year was a completely different team with Kyle Allen than they were with Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas was a completely different team, whether you played him with Dak
or
you played
Andy.
What's his name? DiNucci, whatever the hell his name was. You know, completely different team weeks at a time, right? So I think I'm just going to preface it by saying it. I'm not a fan of this. I hope like this goes away. I also think the league is in bed with the Giants. They always have been. The Giants only have to play three divisional games down the stretch, so a little bit different. Going into this stretch, I have them at 7-5. And I will say this. If they are at that point or even a game below, they'll make the playoffs. Ron Rivera clearly will not let the training wheels fall off of this team. He will not let things go completely off the rails. So if they're going into this stretch and relatively healthy, nobody's going to be healthy by that point, I think they'll make the playoffs. This first game, Cowboys come to Washington, December, chalk it up as a win. Cowboys suck in December. I'm at least giving Washington one more win here. They get their eighth win of the season against the Cowboys. They then have to go to the Philly. They have to go to, I almost said the Phillies, like the
Phillies.
Like baseball team. They have to go play the Eagles. This is another trap game, I think. Everyone's going to look at this one on a win as on paper. I've got to give them an L somewhere in here for the NFC East. So I'm going loss at the Eagles. Then they have to travel to the Cowboys. Day after Christmas, it's Sunday night football, primetime game. I don't have Washington winning three primetime games this year. The math does not check out. I have to have them losing one somewhere, and I have them winning on Thursday night, and I have them winning that Monday night football game against the Seahawks. Chalk it up. They just need to lose one somewhere. They lose against the Cowboys. Then we have two losses going against the NFC East, and then we're staring at it in the face there. They're going to host the Eagles. They're going to beat the Eagles handedly, get their ninth win of the year. Then they're at the Giants, they suck in the Meadowlands. They have always sucked in the Meadowlands. But I think with the season on the line, the Giants season will already be over by that point. Washington wins and eventually gets in. That's a 10-win season for me. A 10-7 season.
I know, it's weird.
The math is so weird. It's after weird. You've done this wrong. So I have them going
it's weird.
10-7. And that's on the high end here.
Mm-hmm.
I actually see them going probably nine maybe even eight games that they win. But 10 is my number. If I had to give a line, nine and a half, mm-hmm. either going above or below that.
Right.
I think.
I after their bye week, I have them winning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 8 games I predicted. Okay. And here's why. I have them winning the last 3 at Dallas, here with Philly, and at the Giants, because I think they put together that defense like solid after that bye week.
Yep.
And I think from there, it's just like pedal to the metal.
Yep.
That's just my thing, because typically when you have injuries, it's more offense. Sometimes, just from like what I've seen with Washington, mm-hmm. well, obviously Alex Smith.
Right.
But
right.
I just think the defense is going to stay healthy. And I think they're going to get everything figured out during that bye week.
Yep.
And I even told Andy on his show yesterday that I think Tampa Bay is going to win, but it's going to be close.
Yep.
Like, I
yep.
think it's going to be closer than we think, because they're going to come off of that bye week and yep. that defense is going to have it figured it out.
Yeah. That's the perfect game, by the way, that Ron Rivera is going to talk everyone off the moral victory, I think.
Yeah.
Like, this whole era is going to be so hyped that they lose 20-17, and Rivera is going to be the one to be like, no, we lost. Like,
yeah.
That's exactly what's going to go down with him.
Like, right.
And that's what I mean with him as well. Like, he was really good last year, just keeping there used to be
level head.
Yeah. Like Jim Zorn, who used to coach here, he was terrible. But mm-hmm. he had my favorite phrase. It was called stay medium.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just don't get too excited, but also don't get too low.
Right.
And just stay medium. And I think that's what Rivera is going to have this team doing. Your quick Saints record prediction.
All right. 10-7.
10-7.
10-7.
In that division? Wow.
10-7.
Bullish over there.
I am just looking at, let's be real, Drew Brees wasn't our whole entire team. He was great. He was a key player. He mm-hmm. has been with that franchise since I've watched NFL.
Right, I mean,
he is a huge part of it, but we have a lot of pieces in that puzzle that I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be okay.
Okay. All right. Were the Saints last in that division, or they were third to last? Were the Panthers last in that division
last
year? I think
Panthers were definitely last.
Okay, so you get the third place schedule, which
actually... We beat Tampa Bay twice, and
that's
then
right.
lost
that's
to
right.
them in the postseason.
That's right.
I was at Hooters on Christmas Day watching that game in West Palm Beach, and I was very mad.
Got it. Okay, so I actually like the third place schedule more than anything, too, because fourth place usually means you had some kind of catastrophic injury and you're going to mm-hmm. bounce back anyways that next year.
Yeah.
First place schedule, always the worst, because those teams were all the best anyways. The second and third place schedules always are, to me, better, because those teams tend to middle anyways. Mm-hmm. So I will take your word for it on that one.
I'll say worst case scenario, 9-8.
9-8 is your worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario.
If, let's say, Jameis and Taysom don't work out, then what's your worst case scenario?
6-11.
Oh, 6-11. So they win 6 games and both of those guys suck. All right, fair enough. I like the optimism. I'll run through it real quick here because we are going long here. The top 10 games, according to USA Today, when the schedule hit, and of course, it just refreshed them. There we go. They're number 10. I think you're actually going to like the best on this list. Jaguars at the Bengals, week 4.
Oh, I am going to eat that game up. I hope Joe Burrow beats the brakes off of Trevor Lawrence. I hope he embarrasses the Jaguars.
That might be the most fired up you've ever gotten.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for that game.
So that's probably your number one. No, that's not a Saints game.
Oh, 100%.
So you have Jaguars at Bengals. That one's week 4. I like that, too, that it's not within the first month of the season, but 4 weeks is enough, I think, that we're going to see enough of either
right.
Lawrence, hopefully starting, I would hope, and Joe Burrow, hopefully healthy from the knee surgery.
Oh, I think he's going to come out with it.
Good one there. Rams at the 49ers.
Did you say week 4?
Week 4, yeah.
Week 4 is also Patriots versus Tampa Bay.
Oh, man, it's a good week.
So week 4 really is going to be a good week.
That's a nice tease, because that's higher up on the list here.
Yeah.
Rams at the 49ers, week 10. That should be a good one there. You get Matt Stafford into the rivalry against the 49ers. Week 10, you're probably thinking Trey Lance? You got to think he'll be in by that point.
I don't think he's a project.
Maybe. So either way, you'll have Garoppolo, who is probably
an injury. An injury.
right. Week 10, this is a good one. Seahawks at the Packers. If A-Rodge is still there, you're going to have the disgruntled quarterbacks meeting up.
Right.
And, like, we've heard rumblings.
Both one out. Hey, yeah, bro, what are you doing?
Right.
I don't know yet.
Exactly. We've heard rumblings from both of them. Not from them, but, like, from media being like, right, why don't they just swap quarterbacks? So another good one there. Chiefs at the Ravens week 2.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not a Ravens defender or Baltimore defender. I actually don't like them at all just because of when I went to high school around here, it was 50-50 Ravens skins, and it was bad. They've done the Ravens dirty 2 years in a row, though, by giving them the Chiefs early on.
Yeah.
And I think that is just...
Yep.
I'm not trying to defend Baltimore by any means, but I think you've done them dirty 2 years in a row that you've given them early games. Like, I want a late-season Chiefs-Ravens matchup. Mm-hmm. Like, the Ravens usually aren't clicking until week 10 anyways with Lamar, so, like... Mm-hmm. Schedule makers, come on.
Yeah.
Like, at least throw them a bone there. Number 6, I mean, fine for this one. Cowboys at the Buccaneers week 1 for the opening game. I'm mad that they gave them the Cowboys. Like,
yeah.
I think Cowboys, like, are so overrated for national TV, but, you know, that's
if
the Dak's bias.
If Dak's healthy, I don't know. It could be interesting.
It's the bias coming out in me. I do think, though, if you're going to get a team to play the Buccaneers week 1, like Dak and Zeke and that offense going up against Brady.
It's
and
pure
all,
for ratings.
All 22 starters, fine. I think it's going to be a firework show, but like, I'm still mad that they put the Cowboys on primetime. Number 5 on their list, Bills-Chiefs week 5. I think good timing there.
Oh, yeah.
Rematch of the AFC Championship game. Bills, honestly, were coming back in that game last
they
year
were.
Too.
Oh, and I wanted them to pull it out. I just really like Josh Allen.
Yeah. Oh, so do I. I mean, I think if you like football, you like Josh Allen at this point. Same thing with Mahomes. But I think what sucked about that AFC Championship game last year was the Bills were slowly clawing back and then the Chiefs losing their tackles. We all kind of knew that, like, if the Bucs were going to get pressure, which they have a good defense, they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Made for a, like, kind of a letdown last couple weeks of the season, I think, when it came down to it. Number 4, Browns at the Ravens, week 12. I like that the Browns are here late. Are they for real? Are they not? Will they finally put it together? Sportsbooks have released the Browns are the biggest liability on the board right now. Money pouring in on them because of their fan base and people that like their offense. So I like that one. Bills at the Buccaneers week 4. I think that one's – or week 14. Sorry. So way late on the season, you'll get Josh Allen versus Brady. I think that could be a good one with 4 weeks to go.
That could be a really good one, yep.
Packers are at the Chiefs week 9. Nothing else needs to be said about that. And their number one matchup of the year, the one that you mentioned, Buccaneers are at the Patriots at week 4. Perfect timing for this one, too.
Yep.
I don't want the drama late on the season about this. I think you like the drama storylines early instead of when it's coming down to the standings at the end. Not to mention Brady's dad already starting the trash talk. I don't know if you heard him say, I did. We should win this one handedly.
I love it.
All right there, Tom Sr., whatever his dad's name is. Either way, that's going to be a good one. I've also seen the ticket prices in that one have shot up to like $1,200. They're basically Super Bowl prices because people want to see Brady.
Right. It'll be interesting to see which QB is going to take over the Patriots spot. You either have Auburn's quarterback or you have Alabama's quarterback.
That's your pick. That's your fever dream over there.
It is. Literally, we have Cam Newton, Auburn, Jarrett Stidham, Auburn.
That's right, yeah.
And Mac Jones, Alabama. So pick your poison. Belichick.
I was like, that's your dream right there.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, to shout out to the Braves. Who is the pitcher that you wanted to shout
out? Matzek. The behind-the-head double play. Absolutely insane. If you watched it, he literally started turning to look at second base before the ball was even in his glove.
Yeah, it was insane.
It was wild. For you not to freak out at a ball. Granted, it did hit the ground first, so it wasn't like a line drive at your face. But still, for you to react that quick, that was a golden glove play there.
That was
absolutely insane.
That was fantastic, even as the Nats fan here. Like, that was...
I'm still rewatching the clip. Like, it still pops up on my timeline, and every time it does, I don't get sick of watching it. And how pumped Freddie Freeman was after the cat, like, the whole team.
Right.
It was just wild.
Baseball is the easiest sport to be like, golf clap, you got us there. Don't care if you're the rival, whatever, is the easiest sport to just tip your hat off to someone else. So good on them. Lauren, good show today. As always, thanks for being here. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the Producers Pod. Thanks for listening.